Saturday with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Hello again. Our political panel is still here. We'll get back to them shortly, but we do want to look now at the story of Finbar Caffrey. You might remember hearing that name on news bulletins and indeed in the Dáil when news came through on April 19th, 2023, that Finbar had been killed in Ukraine. Finbar was from Achill in County Mayo. He would have been known to almost everyone locally from the time he spent working in Ted's Pub, which the Caffrey family ran on the island for many years. He was also a political activist, an activism that began in large part when he became involved in the Shell to Sea protest in North Mayo in the early 2000s. But his interests were international as well as national, and in 2016 he went to Syria and joined the Kurdish militia group, the YPG. You'll hear this referred to in the upcoming interview as the YPG in its fight against Islam. State. When Russia invaded Ukraine, he took it upon himself to go there too, initially to provide logistical and humanitarian support, but then to take up arms and fight. Last week, I travelled to Achill to meet Finbar's brother Cullum, and he began by remembering the moment he got the news of his brother's loss.
I remember quite clearly. I was getting a bag of chips, and my phone rang, and as a friend of Finbar's. He sort of said, yeah, he made it clear this was serious, you know. And he said Finbar has been reported missing in action. And I suppose, yeah, my read on that, like Finbar was, in our lives, he was always missing somewhere. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we'd be working in the pub, Finbar was missing in action. He wasn't there. So I just, the seriousness of it did not hit me. Or I refused to let it maybe in that moment. And he sort of stressed, this is quite serious. This isn't good. I still didn't believe it. I still thought, no, this'll work out. He'll be okay. I didn't believe it. And maybe until the following day when we were telling my family, when I was saying the words out loud myself to somebody else, I suppose the reality of it then might have hit me a bit harder. But while I was processing it myself, yeah, I just refused to believe it for quite a while.
He had gone to fight in Ukraine. He had changed from playing a logistical and support role doing deliveries into a more military activist role closer to the front line. Did you know the extent of what he was doing at that stage?
So I hadn't known. At that Christmas, he had been home, and he had come home from the Ukraine-Poland border where he had been sort of given logistical support. And the conversation I had with him at that Christmas, which was Christmas 2022, he was saying he was quite happy what he was doing. He felt they were doing good work and they were helping people. He wasn't interested in joining the military effort. And then on the 17th of April, he had emailed me to say he was going to the front. Now, I since found out he had made a couple of efforts to get into the army before that. So maybe this was obviously something he wanted to do, but didn't want to be worrying his family with.
And so when he told you he was going to go down the military road in Ukraine, I mean, did you say anything back to him? Did you tell him?
I did respond. I was, just kind of saying, Thor Ar that fain, and will I say to the family? Kind of, that was my first question. Will I tell anyone else? Or because they might have just been confiding in me, so I'd know. But I got no response from that. That was 2 days before he died. So, yeah, he wasn't there long. But why he did it, I don't know. He might have thought that this is where he would be most useful. You know, I think that was often something I heard him say was, where can I be most useful?
Right. Yeah. And did you tell the family or did you decide?
No, I didn't say anything. No, I hadn't heard back from him. Yeah.
Kudame, the Wahar Iglarch, Letigia Kahar, Dirchi, Hugshi the Yee, the job on Mahar Janteki, August Vishi, Jena, Kinahain, Egdulamach, Kusig Jena Shaw, you know, Kadachapshi, Nurahulishi, and Nucht.
Yeah, Vish Kribrishta, Domain, Emohar Kribrishta. August, I suppose, just Viesagin, Trish Syria, Gorau Finbar, Egdulamach, Egjena Ruddy, Nakro. Slán, you know, go rashe curry hens a barn of wheel, agus vias agin, yeah. So ein arm a kaimile in the ocean, just vime kate fin gaid on, you know, you didn't take it for granted after that. You kind of thought, well, he could, yeah. So that risk was always in the air, that he wasn't afraid of danger, I suppose, you know, vish in a roll of sagin. So you kind of, Yeah, I'm only trying to make sense of it myself.
Yeah, and I mean, ideologically, going back to, you know, he had started off his, I suppose, the sharp end of his activism in the Shell to Sea campaign. He had been willing to take on a direct action, bringing a canoe out on the water to disrupt the lane of the pipeline at that stage. But Syria was obviously, you know, where it changed into taking up arms on behalf of what he believed in. Would you ever have seen that transition being made or that extra step being taken in all the time you knew him or even in the way he spoke about things?
No, I did not. I would not have predicted that. And looking back on everything now, I could see, oh, right, well, Finbar did, you know, he read a huge amount as a young lad and was reading about history, different wars, different things like that, but never struck me as someone who would want to be a soldier. Was not interested in, even, I don't think I ever seen him fighting, was not interested in guns or anything like that, you know, the things that might draw people to armies. So that surprised me when he took that step in Syria in 2016. I think he believed very strongly in the right of people to defend themselves. And I'd say that would be what brought him to Syria. That would have been a core value of the EPG, that they have the right to defend themselves, whatever that takes.
What's the best knowledge you have about what ultimately happened on the road to Bakhmut? What happened on the day he was killed?
From what I understand, there was a big strategic effort to maintain this road into Bakhmut, a really important road, and whoever had control of it had a large say in the city, you know, which, I mean, at this point is in rubble. But at the time, there was... I think the Ukrainian forces had been losing ground and were setting up strategic operations to go to get in and sort of push further on, and Finbar was part of one of these smaller strategic operations, and they were hit with artillery fire. Now, I don't know how many of them were in that unit that was hit. I heard 42 one time that were killed in one go, and I heard 5 another time. So these parts of the story are still not that clear to us. They're not, there's still a bit of ambiguity about those, but they were hit with artillery fire there, and in such a way that, and I suppose that the loss of ground then as well made it impossible for any other soldiers that were with them to retrieve their remains. So yeah, and that's as much as we know. I mean, the reality of it, I'm sure, was far more horrible.
I think I heard one of your sisters say that because he's missing, she's still, even though she's 99.9% sure he's dead, that she still retains some hope that someday he'll walk in the kitchen door. I mean, is that on some level how it is for all of you because he's missing?
Yeah, so I think that's a sort of, that's probably to do with the not having a funeral and not having, not going through those steps that give you closure, or not seeing a body, or see, you know, I think the funerals, and particularly the way we've grown up with them here, they do take you through those steps and they do help you process your, the death and let it all land on you. And not having gone through that, you know, logically, none of us, all of us know logically that he's dead, but there's definitely a feeling, and yeah, it definitely rises in me sometimes because he was so hard to pin down, and so, you know, you mightn't hear from him for 3 weeks and he'd walk in the door. That's the type of person he was.
You did think there was a body recovered at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, you were operating on the assumption that it was only a matter of time before it was released from a morgue, but then ultimately you were told that that wasn't the case, that his body was missing.
Yeah. Yeah, there was about 6 or 8 weeks afterwards, we got word from his battalion that the bodies had been retrieved and had been brought to a morgue. And this has gone on and on and on, and we were talking to the Department of Foreign Affairs and embassies and all that, trying to get this, trying to get clarification. And 6-7 months later, it emerged this, they had not been retrieved. And yeah, so it was just, I suppose it's war. People are, the person who, you know, apparently one of the people who had been in contact with us was killed after that. You know, this is the sort of reality you're dealing with. Like,
and is that effort, you know, still ongoing, or is that realistic at all given the loss of the territory he was killed in?
I mean, so I suppose we probably wouldn't give up hope on that, but you're dealing with a situation now where his remains ended up in Russian territory. So nobody knows what happened or happened with them.
Agus hug dáthair DNA, tá sampla DNA dá chuid hálan sin, má aon siad an corp, déit aithna chur an corp, agus scéal a chur chuibh, áma chínt.
Yeah, all jeta agus you know my Harley and she yeah bimish lan sastel eshiniana ak yeah talon jana is your on jogs and shin
yeah and the political reaction afterwards of Micheál Martin said he was clearly a man of principles and our own program. Breed Smith paid tribute to his idealism as well. The Russian ambassador reacted quite angrily to the Taoiseach's remarks. Did that exchange mean anything to you?
No, it's kind of a sideshow, really. I mean, I think the Russian ambassador has to be seen to do things like this. Has to be seen to push their line. And yeah, I think it was just a sideshow. They were just sort of posturing or whatever. It didn't affect us one way or the other, I think.
Right. You released your own statement in the aftermath of that. Anyway, you wanted to kind of put Finbar's case across.
Well, there was a reaction from certain politicians to what the Russian ambassador said, and there was very much we need to double down, expel this ambassador. It was very much let's get aggressive about this, in a way that I don't think Finbar would have stood for or wanted anyway. So I wanted to be clear that I suppose that I felt the need to just state that no, I don't think Finbar would be up for Ireland. You know, pushing towards NATO as a result of what happened to him.
Agus gavlian in year Kyloe, conas satoshiv con Camora yenaver, con Quivnachani yenaver Finbar.
Ta Cora arshul in our glan fui sha tomich ta gargin biog genta agin agus tomich con sais sais monument biog akoras ja har the Finbar am egan on vlian sha so bejer. Bejor of Rehla, Bejor and Bemichik Jin, O'Keller or Law, a boss away. But Bejor of Rehla, me man for, no Rod Marshin, yeah, Besha Jazz, just Gamemajin on Dull Lachig, and you know, Nakwil, Majin Dulgajin, on Relic, no Rod Marshin,
All right, Colum, Gramil Margot.
Colum Margot Hain.
That was Colum Cafferkey, the brother of Finbar Cafferkey, who died in Ukraine in April 2023, agus Mila Buichas, the Chilim, Asocht Lartlin, agus. Darnoy, Dun Clan of Itilchinoch, the column Lartlin Comai. Now, we did ask the Department of Foreign Affairs for any update they had on efforts to locate and retrieve Finbar Cafferkey's body. They said the Irish Embassy in Kyiv has, quote, engaged on a number of occasions with the relevant local authorities on this case, and they will, quote, continue to provide all consular assistance to the family. Okay, Sus Biogela, our political panel, is still with us, and after the loss of three lives in the country's roads last night, we'll be looking at some road safety issues.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.